Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We'll be looking at the first 12 verses of this chapter, and my sermon tonight, which probably would be fairly short, because it's to the point, and it's on being more noble. Being more noble. And let's read. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis, Apollos, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few." So this is on Paul's second missionary journey, and they're going back through the same area, but he's responding to the call of the Macedonian. He gets the vision. He says, "Let's go into come over to Macedonia and help us. Folks, there's a lost and dying world that's calling for help. And we need to be the ones that do that." In verse 5 it says, But when the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar." Kind of sound like today, huh? "And assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring him out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.'" You know something? We need more of that today. We need more people to go out and turn the world upside down. Folks, if the early church could do it, we serve the same God. Why can't we? Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So verse 7 says, "Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." You know, the world just keeps on trying to do the same thing. They have the same argument, but it's a false one. You know, they cried out to Pilate, "We have no king but who? Caesar." You know, the Jews were not interested in serving Caesar. They were just calling this out because they wanted their way here. But they wanted to get everybody onto their side. And folks, what we need to do is we need to understand there's a lot of false teaching out there, and we don't need to go along with it. "And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things." Kind of like today. Cities are in uproar. People are in chaos everywhere. Verse 9. "And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who cometh thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed." You know, the word of God will not come back void. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask you with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you just be with this message, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. Help us, Lord, to be changed tonight. Help us, Lord, to leave this place different than what we came in and glorifying you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You know, talking about where are they? They come out of Asia Minor, or normal Turkey, and these are the cities. There's Apollonia, there's Amphipolis, okay, and then Thessalonica and Berea. So they're up in northern Greece or northern Macedonia today. So it's got to put, where are they? You know, there's a lot of things that the world considers noble. Some think that noble means that you have a higher political or a higher social or a higher heritage status. That you were born into royalty. And those people, just by their position, are automatically better than anyone else. Wrong. I know a lot of people in power that are not good. And just because you have a position doesn't mean you act according to that position. So when some people think of nobility, they think of someone that has a higher status and that we are having a worse status. You know something? We all fall short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. Some think of holding to a higher moral standard, that we will act better than somebody else. And that's not a bad thing to do. That's not a bad thing to do. However, the issue is, what morality? Is it your morality or is it the biblical morality? We need to do things according to the Bible. Some think of having a superior attitude. Not necessarily in I'm better than you, but in that I am following a higher calling than you. In this passage, we are at the third one here. The people in Berea had a superior attitude towards the Word of God than those in Thessalonica. In fact, if you go and you look in some of your translations, the word that's translated noble in the King James is translated as fair-minded in other translations. They had an open mind. And folks, you don't have to have a high position. You don't have to have a noble heritage to be noble. You don't have to come up with a set of rules to be noble. You just have to have a superior attitude. And that attitude is how you deal with Christ. How you deal with God. Does God direct your path? You know, being noble is an issue of attitude, not position. You know, Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he studied how to get wisdom and where true meaning of life came in. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says this. It says, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. You know, there's a lot of people that won't listen to anybody else. They think they know it all. When you get more power, when you get more position, if you have better heritage, they're better than you. But in verse 14 it says, for out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. See, Christ talked about being poor in spirit. Christ talked about being pure in heart. Christ talked about all these things that were attitudes. They were character qualities that made us noble people. And so tonight I want to share three things that a noble person does. And the question tonight is, are we being more noble? The first one is that the people at Thessalonica, or people of Berea, were searching instead of speculating. They were searching instead of speculating. They were Jews. And Paul's method was that he was going to go to somebody that had a biblical background. He went to the synagogues, so they knew the Old Testament. And inside the Old Testament was all the prophecies about Christ. And so Paul would go in and he would reason with people. And he would say, hey, this is talking about the Messiah. And he came. And he died on the cross. And he gives us salvation. So we see that the people at Berea were searching. It says they were what? More noble than those of Thessalonica, because they searched the scriptures daily, seeing if those things were what? If those things were sold, were so. Folks, if you want to be more noble as a Christian, we need to be searching instead of speculating. It's not what I think. It's not what somebody writes a book about it thinks. It's what God's Word says. It's what the Holy Spirit reveals. And so there's three things I want to talk about here. First of all, in order to search instead of speculating, you need to search. You need to search. In order to search, you need to want to search. Okay? In order to search, you need to want to search. We're not going to do anything we don't want to do.
Right.
Amen.
Put that in your Christian vernacular and see. There's a lot of Christians that don't do the things that they should do. And so in order to search, you need to want to search. In Psalm chapter 77, verse 6, it says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. What made the Bereans more noble than Thessalonica, than the ones of Thessalonica, was that they were open-minded, and they were willing, when they heard something, that they were going to search the scriptures themselves. Folks, if all you get in your spiritual life is what you hear through preaching, and what you hear through maybe coming to a Sunday school class, or maybe coming to a Bible study on Friday, on Wednesday night or something like that, you're deficient.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You're deficient.
Come on.
You need to look, search the scriptures yourself. But in order to read the Bible, you need to want to read the Bible. So if you're not reading God's Word, if you're not studying God's Word, why not? That's your choice. And your inactivity is showing where your mind is on this thing. See, in order to search, you need to search things out. You need to want to search. Folks, there are too many people this week. I had a student. He knew where to get the answer. But his thing was, he came and asked me what the question, what the answer was to his question, instead of looking at them himself. I told him, I said, there's the manual. Go look it up. Go look it up. Folks, we've got to quit being babes in Christ. It's not things that we're supposed to, you know, just don't go ask somebody else, what do you think or what do you know? What does thus saith the Lord mean? So in order to search instead of speculating, you need to want to search. In order to search instead of speculating, you need to be accepting about what you find. This morning I was teaching in the youth class, Acts chapter 5. And the issue was, is that they had locked Peter and John back into prison again. Because they were doing something they were told not to do. They were preaching in the temple. And then they put them in the prison, the common prison. And lo and behold, God gets them out. All the doors were shut. All the guards were there. And they said, hey, Holy Spirit said, go back to the temple and preach. So what do they do? Go back to the temple and preach. Next morning, all the people go up, see where the prisoners were. They're not there. They're doing exactly what God wanted them to do. And now they're scratching their head. How did those guys get out of the prison with all the doors shut and all the guards in place? They couldn't understand. They were unaccepting of what they had. Instead of saying, these men must serve a better God than we do, they sat there and they said, well, we're going to kill them. That's a good answer, isn't it? They were going to kill them. You know why? Because they were unwilling to accept what they found. They were unwilling to accept what they found. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, it said, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, there's two things that we need to do here. Every day we need to search and try our ways. What does try mean? It doesn't mean to do them. It means to examine them against a standard. So what we do, how we act, later on in this chapter says that when Paul was in Athens, he says, you're serving the unknown God. He says, this is the God in which we move and we have our being. Everything that we do should be up against God's standard. And it says, let us search and try our ways. You know something? In order for you to search and try your ways, you would want to do it. You would see a need to do it. And then what? Turn again to the Lord. Because once we come up to the conclusion that our way is not going God's way, what do we need to do? Get back on track. So in order to search instead of speculating, we need to want to search. In order to search instead of speculating, we need to be accepting of what you find, even if it means that you have to change. Even if it means that you have to change. You know, God's will for your life is to be looking like Him. And then thirdly, in order to search instead of speculating, you need to search in the right places. You know, there's people that try to search to see what they can get away with. In Psalm chapter 64, verse 6, it says, they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. You know, these people in this psalm wanted to do evil. We've been studying through Proverbs. We've been finding out that the wicked can't what? Can't help but doing that. The unrighteous can't help the people. You know what? Because that's what they want to do. Folks, in order to be righteous, you want to be righteous. It's just not going to happen magically. It's going to take work. We're supposed to work out our salvation with what? Fear and trembling. It's going to take effort. We've got to be diligent about this. So they search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. See, what's in your heart tonight? What do you really want to do? What are you really trying to search for? Well, this is what we should do. John chapter 5, verse 39. Christ tells the crowd, He tells us tonight, He says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. See, when Paul went to Thessalonica, he went to the Scriptures, and he told them about Christ. Everything in the Old Testament pointed forward to Christ, and they didn't want to hear it, because basically, they didn't want to accept what they had just learned. And so the ones of Thessalonica rejected them. Folks, there's people today call themselves Christians that reject God's word. There's people today that reject what God is telling them to do. It says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Where is your go-to place for information in your life? It should be God's word.
Right.
That should be the go-to place. But you know something? In order to do that, you need to want to do it. In order to do that, you know, how many times have you opened up a book or said something, you start reading something, and then you said, and you might get, I don't want to do that. And you put it away. See, when we open up God's Word, we need to accept what God's Word says. And turn to the Lord. And try our ways. And do that. And then the last thing is we have to search in the right places. You are not going to find holy things in unholy places. You're not going to find righteousness doing unrighteous acts. You're not going to have good thoughts when your heart is evil. It's not going to happen. The people at Berea were more noble because they had an open mind. And when they heard something that rocked their world, they said, let's search this stuff out that Paul's saying. And he found out that it's true. Folks, we need to search this book. It's truth. It should be the go-to place for everything that we do. So in order to be more noble, you need to start searching instead of speculating. Secondly, in order to be more noble, you need to be humble instead of hard-hearted. No one's going to tell me what to do, including God. You have a hard heart. See, what is at stake here? See, there's four things at stake about being humble. Honor is at stake. Your testimony is at stake. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, it says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, or it's not humble. And before honor is what? Humility. There's a lot of people that they think because of their position or their status or what they say they believe, that makes them better than someone else. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. The issue is how are you around people? How are you before God? You need to be humble. Because honor is at stake. You need to be humble because God's grace is at stake. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then you know something? I like this thing. It was always like Paul writes here. He says, you know what? He starts listing these things. You need to be submissive to this, this. You know what he says? He says, forget this. He says, yea, all of you be subject one another. This is not worry about this. Just everybody be humble one to another, and everybody serve and minister one another, and everything's going to be okay. You know something? That's what Christ said at the Last Supper. And if Christ says something, it's true. If Christ gave an example to the disciples, they needed to follow it. Why won't we follow it? Because maybe we don't want to be told what to do something. Or maybe we don't like the person that's encouraging us to do something else. So likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be what? Be clothed with, and everybody say it?
Humility.
Humility. And then the phrase that we know most. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. See, the Jews at Thessalonica were hard-hearted. They didn't want any part of that because they didn't want to do what they had learned. They didn't want to admit that they had crucified the Savior. They didn't want to admit that Christ was the Messiah. They didn't want to admit that they missed the boat and they were wrong. Folks, we need to be humble instead of hard-hearted or hard-headed. Because you have a hard heart, you have a hard head too. Because your honor is at stake. Secondly, God's grace is at stake. Thirdly, God's forgiveness is at stake. And I'm just going to make everything run on here. In Luke chapter 18, verse 14, we know the story. It's the Pharisee and the publican, and they're standing at the temple praying. And the Pharisee comes up because he's the nobility of the religion. He has the pedigree. He has the credentials. Everybody looks at him and looks at his robes and say, wow, what a man. Wow, I really want to be like this person. See, man thinks that they were noble, but they weren't. And so he goes and he says, I'm so glad, God, I'm not an extortioner, or I tithe, I do all this good stuff. And oh, by the way, I'm not like this jerk over here. I'm not like that guy over there because I'm God's chosen person. I am noble. And you know, the publican or the sinner, Christ says he won't even lift up his head, but he smites his breast and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He doesn't look up. He says, I have a problem, and God, you can fix it. The Pharisee said, I don't have a problem because I have arrived. I have arrived. But what does Jesus say here? In Luke 18, verse 14, it says, I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, or the Pharisee, on the surface, the noble one. For every one that exalteth himself shall be what? Abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Folks, we need to understand that humility comes, forgiveness comes when you have a humble heart. Because if you don't have a humble heart, you don't see any need for it. See, if you don't have a humble heart, you don't see any need for honor because you think you have all that you need. When you don't have a humble heart, you don't need God's grace because you are a self-made person. But you need a humble heart because God gives honor. God is the God of all grace. God is the God of all forgiveness. And then lastly, we need to be humble instead of hard-hearted because your joy is at stake. In Psalm chapter 69, verse 32, it says, the humble shall see this and be glad. Folks, are you seeing this tonight? Are you seeing your need to search? And then, and your heart shall live that seek God. Folks, we need to be searching instead of speculating. We need to be humble instead of being hard-hearted. The ones at Berea were, and they allowed their eyes, and their eyes were open, and they saw their need. They were practicing the same religion that the ones at Thessalonica were doing. One got changed, one did not. What's the difference? What's the difference? The last thing is, in order to be more noble, you need to be committed instead of complaining. You need to be committed instead of complaining. God never does anything for me. I've heard that. I tried coming to church. I came to church on Easter. And then God didn't do anything after that. What's up with that? The Bible says He's supposed to bless me. I came to church on Christmas Eve. Folks, we're getting to that time.
Come on.
I got to church at church. And God didn't bless me for that. You know, this religion stuff, all that stuff you preach about faith, it's just a lot of hooey. Heard that? Mm-hmm. If you've been in ministry for any length of time, you talk to people, you hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that. You know what? God's not going to commit to you unless you commit to Him.
Right. There it is.
That's the real issue. That's the real issue here. See, stop complaining and get committed to let God work in your life. Stop complaining and get committed to let God work in your life. Psalm 37, verse 5. commit thy way unto the Lord. You need to want to. You need to accept whatever that takes. You need to turn to God. Along the way, you may need His grace. You will need His grace. You will need His forgiveness. Commit thy way unto the Lord. So you've got to make a decision. Folks, tonight, do you need to make a decision about God? We are running out of time, folks.
Right.
And it's time for the church of God to do what is right.
Yes.
Commit by way unto the Lord. But it goes beyond that. See, it's one thing to say, I believe, and never act on that belief. See, the second part of this verse says, commit thy way in the Lord. Trust also in Him. See, trusting means you're going to act on what you believe because you honestly believe that it will happen. There's a lot of people that fail in churches. There's a lot of people that fail their faith because they say, I have faith, but they'll never trust the faith to get them through the task of life. They'll never trust their faith to get them through the trials of life. You're not noble if you're like that. You're not noble. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And who will bring it to pass? God will.
Yeah. Amen.
And He shall bring it to pass. Folks, all we need to be is vessels of honor to God.
Right.
All we need to be is to be available to God. All we need to be are channels of grace for God. But you won't be unless you want to be.
Right.
You won't be unless you see your need to be. And that takes you over. So you need to be committed instead of complaining to let God work in your life. Oh, God just doesn't work in my life. Have you committed your way to Him?
Amen.
Are you trusting in Him? Secondly, you need to be committed instead of complaining to let God establish your thoughts. My Bible tells me that I'm supposed to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Thou art supposed to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, verse 3, it says this. Commit thy works. Ah! So the first one is, I got to commit the way I'm going to live. I got a plan. Okay? The second one says, I'm going to commit my way. I'm executing the plan. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. There are too many people defeated today because your thoughts are not established. This is simple stuff. A child can understand this. Logan, you understand this? Thought so. Okay? The issue is, we think too much. We're more noble than a child. We're too hard-headed.
Right.
Yeah.
We speculate on all of what is, and we kind of make our own little thing and think about how this is going to work in our life matrix. Folks, just give yourself over to God.
Amen.
He gave all of Himself for you. So we need to let God establish that. Commit thy works in the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And then lastly, to let God get you through trials. Boy, we have trials galore today, don't we?
Yeah.
A very familiar verse. We sing the song. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. There's the trial. And in spite of all this, Peter and John were told not to talk about Jesus anymore after they healed the lame man in Acts chapter 4. And then in Acts chapter 5, they go back to preaching again because they're going to do what God tells them to. They knew what was going to happen to them. And it didn't bother. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. It is time not to be ashamed of your faith.
Amen.
It is time to stand for what is right. No, Christ says when Christ comes back, will faithful man find faith on earth? If he came back tonight, would he find faith in our church? Would he find faith in your family? Would he find faith in your wife? Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
Amen.
You know what you need to keep? You know what you need to commit to him? You need to commit your way to him. You need to commit your works to him. You need to commit your heart to him. You need to commit your thoughts to him. You need to commit everything to him. You need his grace. You need his forgiveness. He's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Folks, you know, back in the medieval times, you were born into nobility. We said the first definition was it was someone of heritage. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born again into nobility. You're a king. You're a child of the king. You're joint heirs with the Prince of Peace. It's time to start living like that. It's time to start searching out the scriptures because we want to. It's time to be humble because we need to be. It's time to be committed because that's what God expects us to be. Are you willing to be noble?
Amen.
Are you willing to follow him? That's the point tonight. Let's stay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time.